Welcome to the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. I'm Deb.
And I'm Chris.
We've traded in the ordinary and predictable to discover what the path of authenticity, adventure, meaning, and connection might look like. We're parents of two wonderful young ladies.
We're partners, travel bugs, co-creators, and early retirees that stepped away from predictable paychecks to live our bucket list lives. In this podcast, we share stories of people who are navigating the sometimes messy middle stages of life and attempting to come out the other side, having led a meaningful and authentic life, while steering clear of a midlife crisis if we can help it.
In season three of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast, we're talking about rewriting your story. We're taking lessons from our guests and ourselves to serve as inspiration to help you make your next big leap into the extraordinary.
Thank you so much for joining us, and now on to today's episode. Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Go Bucket Yourself podcast. And today we have a repeat offender on the podcast, Miss Carrie Doan. And she is a friend of the podcast, a friend of Deb and I. But yeah, we're excited to have you on again, Carrie. But today we're going to talk about micro adventures. And I love adventures, and so I'm excited for today's conversation. So welcome.
Thank you, guys. It's so good to be back and getting into a new topic that I'm just equally as passionate about. So I'm thrilled to be here.
We are excited. And just a brief intro, Carrie is a connection coach, an entrepreneur, a life adventurer, and a believer in all things possible. She runs the Clearly Connected podcast and has developed multiple courses. Carrie's been studying psychology and human behavior for nearly two decades, educating others on the link between mind and body and how reconnecting to your authenticity can play a powerful role toward healing and living a life of pleasure. She's also been leading micro adventures and traveling the world for free for over 5 years and is passionate about empowering women while supporting them toward their biggest dreams. In her spare time, you'll find her running with her kids or wandering out into the wilderness seeking out her next macro or micro adventure. Carrie, I feel like I would love to talk with you anytime about anything, but when I heard you mention that you were sort of transitioning in some ways or adding to your list of many skills and attributes in leading people on micro adventures, I thought, what a better fit for us at Go Bucket Yourself, where our values are adventure, connection, and growth. And so we're super excited to dig in with you today about this topic in particular.
Absolutely. So yeah, I think let's start off with what is a micro adventure to you? What does that mean?
Yeah. So it's funny. I stumbled upon this term, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, so I can't claim it myself. It was coined by a man. His name is Alistair Humphreys, and he is in the UK somewhere. And he defines a microadventure as this brief, affordable pause from your routine. And it's a way to kind of get out of the daily grind of life. So his premise is that a lot of people, when they think of adventure, it's this big, grand thing. And it takes a lot of energy and effort and planning and maybe money to accomplish it. But he wanted to reduce it to like bite-sized pieces so that people could incorporate it into their like 9-to-5 work week if they want to. So the idea is that you say you work a corporate job, you get out of work at 5 o'clock, you go find somewhere to sleep out under the stars, anywhere. You don't even need hardly any equipment. You do it. And then you wake up and you go back to work by 9 a.m. the next day, probably with a little less sleep and some extra bedhead. But the idea is that you can do it even if you have a 40-hour work week job. And when I stumbled upon that, I loved it. And, you know, at the time for me, I didn't have a 9-to-5 job, but I was raising two young children. And so I didn't feel like adventure in a macro sense was as easily attainable. And so I started doing it. I grabbed 3 or 4 of my best girlfriends and we just started sleeping out under the stars in all these random places. And we quickly created so many unique stories and memories and wild things that happened. And this was all very local. We didn't have to go very far to do it. So that's the idea. And I think it's attainable for almost any person out there, which is what I love about it.
Yeah.
There's so much goodness to dig into there, like the accessibility, the affordability. But I'm curious, because you are a connection coach and you've done that for quite a while, and listening to you talk to me personally about micro adventures, it seemed like this naturally, your coaching naturally led into helping people also with these micro adventures. So I'm wondering how the two connect and how one led to the other. Is there anything you can speak to in that area?
Yeah. So, you know, I started doing this over 5 years ago and did it consistently just for fun. And then in that time period became a coach, and it's very meaningful work for me, and it's all centered around connection. So helping people to reconnect to themselves, like their authenticity, the value that you guys are so familiar with, helping them reconnect relationally to other people, learning skills like communication to foster that. And then beyond that, it's also connection to the outside world, our natural environment. And so that kind of undergirds my practice as a coach. And when I started thinking about, well, what could I offer people beyond just one-to-one sessions that could support that reconnection, it made total sense that I would facilitate an experience where people could get outside of their element, where they could be in a novel setting, because I think when you're a novelty, your senses are like activated in a new way. You're more open typically and awake. And then that, you know, especially if it's in nature, to be grounded, to be in that experience of like connecting with Mother Earth. So that, to me, it made so much sense to be able to offer that experience. And that's what I think it accomplishes, you know. And I think you guys probably have plenty of stories yourselves of the adventures you've been on and what you've learned about yourself, what the memories that you make with other people that you carry with you for your entire life. It becomes a part of your story. And so that, to me, it is an experience, I think, of multiple areas of connection that you can accomplish in this small little brief escapade.
Yeah. I love that. So rewinding back to the concept of micro, you know, putting that specifically, calling out micro, making that more attainable, making that more doable. I think that's one of the things I struggle with as I think of like, oh, I have an Instagram account. People know that I go on adventures. Like, I just need to share the big shit. Like when I go out for a month or I go climb this 20,000 foot mountain, like those are the things that people care about. But yeah, as you're saying that, I'm like, yeah, that some of the small stuff, like just last Sunday, you know, just going for a small hike, I needed alone time. So I connected with myself. I was aware of the fact that I really needed alone time. So I went on this small hike and I hit some amazing aha moments. I felt some amazing peace and beauty 15 miles away from my house. There was the novelty of the fact I was alone and I was, you know, a little bit in different nature than if I just walked around, you know, the streets in our little town. And it just opened up this thing in me. And so I want to try to be more aware of that as I think of what qualifies as something that's Instagram worthy and less vain than that, but like what qualifies as something that someone could benefit from. And it is the courage, the inspiration to just do these, like take these small steps. Like if you've read Atomic Habits or if you know anything about that, it's all about whittling this son of a bitch down to the smallest thing possible and then just doing that one small thing. Then more doors open to you and things become more clear. Then you take another small step. if you read The Lion Tracker's Guide to Life, which we're about to feature in a couple episodes, is all about finding that next first track. So that's a lot of a ramble, so I'll shut up now. But yeah, I just wanted to say yes, yes, yes to the micro concept. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, what, as you're talking, I'm thinking about it kind of how it invites you to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And maybe it feels a little edgy or risky to do something different that you typically wouldn't do, or put yourself in an environment that you maybe wouldn't otherwise. And so I know you guys already know this, but anytime you do that, it's such an occasion to learn something new about yourself too, right? So there's so many added benefits. Like it's, I think, a matter of being intentional about it, you know, like saying, I'm not just going to drift. I'm not just going to like let the days go by. I want to intentionally kind of like go into some unknown territory, even if it's one night out in a local park or wherever. And in order to discover something new about myself, or to reconnect to a part of myself that maybe I've been ignoring. So I just think it creates this very simple opportunity to just wake up and become more aware if we have that intention around it.
Yeah.
When you were talking, I was thinking specifically about discomfort, because I think people, Chris brought up Instagram. So for example, people look at Instagram, look at people out doing these big adventures and think like, that must be so amazing. They must be having the time of their life the whole time. And the reality of a big adventure is there's a lot of discomfort. There's a lot of questioning. There's a lot of like, why the hell am I doing this or putting myself in this situation? And then generally, in most cases, there's like some big payoff at the end. But the payoff isn't always like that was the best choice I made or the best thing I've done. It's usually some kind of aha or learning. And sometimes it comes with great like hormonal releases that make you feel amazing and alive, right? So when I think of adventure, I don't always think of just like going out and sleeping under the stars, though that is like such an amazing and valid one. And it might be super uncomfortable. And what comes from it might be like, oh, I didn't really like that much, but I learned that I was able to do it, you know, and now my next adventure will be this. And I make little adjustments based on what I didn't like from the previous one. Or I make little tweaks in my life because of what I learned about myself from sleeping out under the stars. So I just wanted to note that a lot of it isn't just like this grand adventure where you feel so excited and joyful the whole time. A lot of it is like uncomfortable and learning from that discomfort. Another thing I wanted to note was you mentioned connecting with Mother Earth, which I think can sometimes feel a little bit like meta or mystical to people.
Not in this household.
There's a lot of research and evidence now about what happens when we literally connect with the earth, like put our feet mm-hmm. on the ground, and what that does to us inside, like literally ionically, but our own vibration and energy, how we are able to match with that and how healing it is. And so if you hear that and think like, oh, sure, connecting with the earth, it's a real thing if you want to look at it a little more scientifically, I'm using air quotes, than mystically. But both are really, I think, important reasons for going out in nature. And so that was a lot of me blabbing. But as we continue, I saw yesterday on your own Instagram a video that you made where you defined authenticity, and it was so simple what you said authenticity was. So maybe we could just hear your definition of authenticity and dig into that a little bit, and how adventuring on a macro or micro level helps us align with our own authenticity.
Yeah, well, this is one of my favorite things to talk about in addition to connection and adventure, because it's a word that I think it's tossed around quite a bit. And, you know, there's language like true self and becoming whole. And they're great. Sometimes, you know, I think people are like, what does that actually mean? And to me, it means, you know, at its core, I think being who you are, which a lot of people don't even really know who they are. I've traveled most of my life not knowing that, really. But also, I think very simply, it's stating and expressing who you are as it relates to your needs and wishes. So I don't want to get down too many rabbit trails here, but I think that we are conditioned in our society to be people who we aren't truly. Like if you think about who we were when we were born, like that's our true self, the essence. And then over time, through our experiences with our caregivers or in school systems or maybe a religious context, we are shaped and molded into certain caricatures with certain personalities and beliefs. And those aren't bad or wrong necessarily, but I think it can separate and disconnect us from the essence of who we are. And so oftentimes then people will spend the second half of their life trying to make that journey back to themselves, to heal their traumas, to rediscover like, wow, what is it that I actually do want apart from what all these voices have told me? And it takes a lot of courage, I think, to do that, because you kind of, you go outside of those systems and then you're in the margins a little bit, right? But the reward is that you regain yourself at your core. And so I think one of the ways to reconnect is that simple expression of like, what are your needs and desires? And a lot of people don't even know that. It takes that discovery process first and then, you know, stating it out loud and then going after it. And so that's kind of how I see authenticity. And it's something that represents like a very deep level of freedom. I know you guys value freedom in all kinds of forms. And this is like the interior freedom that I think a lot of people struggle to realize. And they're struggling with depression and anxiety because they are disconnected on some level or not whole from those fragmented parts from years ago. So that's the way that I kind of see authenticity. I hope that's not too like mystical or ethereal, because it's sometimes hard to bring it into this like rational, logical explanation of it.
Yeah, I heard you yesterday on Instagram and today simply say it's stating your own needs and desires, which mm-hmm. takes a level of knowing. And part of how we get to know those parts of ourselves is getting out of our house, maybe outside of our typical routines, away from our phones, and listening to ourselves, which to me is the whole thing of micro adventuring.
Yeah.
You said it.
Yeah. I think, and so, man, I'm like, I see seven forks in the road of like where to take this next, but I'm like, which one do I do? Is it discomfort? Is it values? Is it needs? Is it authenticity? Anyways, so I posted this yesterday because I'm reading this book by John Wineland, From the Core, and I don't need to really probably talk too much about the book, but in there I read this piece, like, what do you need most to feel nourished and come alive today? So on its surface, that could be like mystical, woo, whatever, I don't know. But at the same time, it's freaking critical. Like I am more, I guess, sure about this now as I am that if I drop this pin, gravity will take it down. Like there is this need in this world for people to become to this level of self-awareness. And that's the beautiful part of determining, like using these micro adventures, like you will find out in these micro adventures or adventures, you will find out what you like and what you don't like. You will find out the people you resonate with and the people you don't resonate with. You will have doors exposed to you that you otherwise wouldn't have. And each one of those doors, Debbie could probably throw that quote in of like everything's a door, but each one of those doors are leading you to yourself. And it's such a, I don't know if anywhere in this world it's mm-hmm. like this is something you learn early on. But I know in my little section of Colorado, in my section of the United States, that isn't something you learn. You don't learn who you are. You pick up who other people are, and you try this mask on, and you put this armor on, and you deal with this numbing mechanism, because that's what we give each other. And I can't imagine what the world will look like when what we give each other is question the fuck out of everything. Like, why are you attracted to this type of person? Why do you want to join a hip hop class at the age of 43? Why do you want to go stare at the stars at night? Not with this like judging, condescending thing, like you're going in your backyard and staring at stars. No, like the other day we watched Interstellar. I went into the backyard mm-hmm. and I looked at the stars and I felt like a 4-year-old, like seeing ice cream for the first time. I was like, what the fuck is that? You know, it's like, this is amazing. Look at this. And yeah, and anyways, I don't know, like me and Lila are going to go to Big Bend National Park, and she's excited about the stars in space, and I'm excited about the stars in space. Her at 12, me at 43 for the first time. And so it's just like, I don't know where this leads, but it's leading somewhere. It's leading to me, it's leading to her, and it's going to give us some answers and clarity, or at least give us connections and questions.
Well,
beautiful.
In the line of questioning and where we grew up and how we were raised, this is rather a tangent from our list of questions, but why is it not selfish? Like, you are a dad, I'm a mom, we have kids at home, we have responsibilities, we have this other life. Why is going off and adventuring by yourself so necessary? Why is it not selfish to do those things? Carrie, I don't know if you want to speak to this about yeah. pleasure and desire and selfishness and how it might be the opposite of that, and it might actually serve those we love and are in relationship with.
Yes, this is something that I think about a lot, because maybe you can relate to this, Deb, but especially I think as a woman in society, there's this either overt or subtle message to deny yourself, to put your family first or your spouse first. I certainly had that growing up in a religious context. And so, you know, that's considered selfish to push yourself to the front. And I don't think that's sustainable. And I don't think it leads to an authentic life, because you're denying your needs and your wishes. And I do think there's room for everybody to have their needs met. But this act, this intentional act of saying, you know, I'm going to prioritize something that I need and want in this moment. Maybe it's an adventure. Maybe it's a bubble bath. Maybe it's time away. And this gets into self-care, obviously, but like you're filling that cup up first, and everybody benefits. Everybody, when you kind of rework it that way. So obviously, you know, some people in our culture will go one way or the other. Maybe some people are just like not ever thinking of other people. And conversely, like some are completely oblivious to their own needs. So I think, of course, there's always this journey towards some kind of balance. But especially if you have the awareness to know that my default is to not think of myself, well, then I think it's even that much more important to be intentional about these little adventures, however you're going to craft them into your life, or thinking about what is it that's going to nourish my soul, so that then you can, over the long haul, help maintain those deeper connections, and it's not coming from an empty place.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I agree with everything you just said. I think that as mothers, you guys inherit labels or stories that you do need to self-sacrifice. And obviously there's some level of root in that of like, yeah, when the baby's coming out, you've got to be there for the baby, you know, like that's not optional. And at the same time, you've got to also disconnect from those labels and expectations and assumptions that the family comes first, and that's where your attentions need. Because yeah, if you have zero left in the cup, what spills over, or it doesn't even spill over, what comes out is not your best, and it's not you. And so,
yeah, I think if you're on the other side of this still, where it's like selfish bad, selfless good. It might sound like a platitude to say that it's necessary to fill up your cup to nourish your soul. But once you've experienced it, you know that that's the only way to nourish other souls, right? It's like everything else before that then just became either checking boxes or maybe adding to resentment or martyrdom. So,
yeah. I that was the word that came up as you're talking, is like the cost, or one of the costs of not doing that is resentment, is maybe depression, anxiety, because you're so out of touch with yourself, right? And then other people, they feel that, they experience that. So I think it's one of the greatest gifts we can give our loved ones is to pay attention to the self and the needs and the wants.
Yeah, that made me emotional. So I paused for a moment. But to go back specifically to micro adventures from there, I just think it would be fun to hear about one that was particularly meaningful or impactful, maybe that you've done yourself with your friends. You said you've been doing it for quite a while, or that you've helped other people do that you've seen benefit. And as I was thinking about this question while we were talking, actually the fun thing that was coming up in my mind, and you don't have to speak to this at all, but I was like, ooh, I wonder if she's ever done anything that was like technically illegal as a micro adventure, like snuck onto a football field or I don't know what. So anyway, I would love to hear a specific example of one that comes to mind that you feel was particularly beneficial or impactful.
Yes. Well, it's hard for me to choose. So I might just share a couple just to even like offer some creativity to people on what you could do. And to answer your question or your statement, Deb, yes, there has been some level of illegal involvement, and not like so edgy that we would land ourselves in jail, I don't think, but we've definitely been met with park rangers and policemen for sleeping in parks when we weren't supposed to be, but
you survived.
We made it. Yeah. We made it without any fines or crimes on our record. So nice. That's good news.
Nice.
I'll just share like maybe two or three ones that were very memorable. One of them was, I remember I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, so the winters here can be quite cold. And there was a day where I want to say it was maybe 10 degrees. So cold outside. And I remember thinking, you know, I could stay inside and just be warm, or I could just go out and feel it all. And so I wanted something a little more. And I called my friends and we decided there's a local river nearby that was frozen. And we decided to dive into this game of broom ball. Which I don't know. Do you guys know what broom ball is?
I'm guessing hockey with broom.
Pretty much, yes. Okay. That's the gist of it. So we made some hot chocolate. The four of us went down to the river. We took these brooms. There's a dog. It was this experience where we were so connected. We were so cold. And we laughed so hard. We fell so many times. And it just was kind of like, this is the last thing you would think we would be doing on a day like today. And yet here we are. And just like the senses were so alive and activated. And we still talk about it all the time. You know, it's just like etched in our memory. I remember clearly in my mind, like what the sun looks like coming through the trees and how I felt in that moment. And so that was a real memorable one. And one I'll share that I did with my kids, and this is very simple. Anybody could do this. We had built a simple little treehouse in our backyard. And I said to them, hey, you want to sleep out in that sometime? They're like, okay. So we made this attempt to just sleep outside in the little treehouse. And about halfway through the night, we heard some really strange noises, some kind of creature that didn't sound too friendly. And everyone started getting a little concerned. And so I looked around, and not too far off was a raccoon. And right next to her was her little baby.
Oh,
I know. And so we thought, oh no, this mother, she's on high alert. Mm-hmm. And my kids immediately were like, get us out of here. So we quickly ran into the house at like 4 a.m. and finished off the night inside. But it was just this really cool moment where, you know, we're together. We had this unexpected thing happen. We're in tune with, you know, our natural surroundings and the fact that like there are other creatures that could interfere with our experience if they want to, which makes you feel vulnerable in a certain way, but also kind of like in touch, you know, with your experience. So, so that was a good one too, but man, I literally could spend an hour or two just talking about all of the wild adventures we had. And so, and I want to say too, in addition to that, like, it doesn't have to be outside all the time. You know, one thing that I love to do is create a really unique food experience where, you know, sometimes I'll invite a friend over and I'll create this spread of Indian food with all different kinds of flavors. And we spend time like eating the whole meal in silence, total silence, and just creating these bites of the Indian flavors on a piece of naan bread and tasting it fully, right? Like being able to savor all of it. And when you're not talking, you're like tuned into that more so. And so even whether it's food or art can be another one where you're just like fully present, engaged with what's in front of you. I think that's really at the essence too of what a micro adventure represents. It's like being fully here now with whatever it is.
Yeah.
Well, so. That's a great way to put it. Yeah.
What the word that keeps coming to mind as you're talking is play. Like when you were talking about playing broom ball on a frozen stream with your friends, it's like, oh, they were just playing and you're adults. And sometimes play feels inaccessible as an adult maybe, or wrong, or like, I don't know, you're just out of practice with play, right? And so it reminds me of when I was just up in the mountains and you and I had a great conversation and you talked about sledding and I was like, oh no, I'm not going sledding by myself. And then it was like, why wouldn't I go sledding by myself? You know, that would be so good on so many levels. So yeah, I don't know if either of you want to talk about play a little bit as an adult or in relationship to adventure, but I think that they are related.
Yeah. So last January, about a year ago, I led this adventure with some men in the Front Row Dads group, and being here in Colorado, being in the winter, I was like, okay, let's involve some snow. And yeah, to your point with the sledding, like, so we hike 5 miles into this backcountry off-grid cabin, and the hike in was beautiful because we set an intention, we shared stories, we shared time talking, and we shared time in silence. And like you were saying, Carrie, with your friend, like, that's, I mean, I love sometimes, there's times when Deb and I will get in the car, and 2 hours later, we haven't said a word to each other. And you may think like, oh, that was a wasted opportunity to connect. I was like, oh, I'm connecting in other ways outside of words. Anyways, so we're going on this adventure. We're hiking in, we're talking, we're being silent. We get there and I'm starting to kind of say like, okay, here's the tasks we have to do. Someone needs to be on the melting snow crew. Like, you need to go gather snow. We need to bring it in house. We need to start boiling water so that, cause that's our water source for the next 2 days. So someone go do that. And someone found a sled. And so I'm kind of like, you know, ordering out like, here, you guys do this. Next thing I had to look out back and there's like 3 guys sledding down the hill. And like you said, they're, you know, like 4-year-olds, you know, like the example of going back in the, it's just like that play is denied for so many reasons. But ultimately we're in charge of whether or not we're denying it ourselves. And so you can say it's because of my spouse or it's because of society or it's because of my job and all that. But it's up to you to say, okay, I can set a boundary and I can create that time for myself to play and give yourself that permission, give yourself that privilege to go do that. Because in that play, you will, I think it's all of these, like all these things coming out of discomfort, all these things of trying something novel. You have this alert presence that's separated from the ego part of you that is feeling like, who do I need to be? Or who am I disappointing? Or who am I trying to approve of in this situation? It's like when you disconnect from that, again, those freaking doors start to open up and it's like, yeah, your little play session out on the ice, may just be those 2 hours of bliss, or it might lead to all sorts of other beautiful things to come.
Okay. I love that, Chris. I think, oh, this is something that I just get all excited about, because if anybody needs to have play in their lives, it's adults, mm-hmm. right? Like you grow up, you take on more demands and responsibilities, and that natural curiosity that I think is innate in us sometimes gets tamped down or squelched. And I just think that when you prioritize play for its own sake, it has not just like these emotional benefits, but you, like you said, you become more open. I think it forms new circuits in your brain. Like I think it becomes more plastic and malleable. And so then you're in this open stance. You're able to kind of like see something you maybe didn't see before. And it's only by just having fun and maybe being in a new environment or trying something different and being lighthearted about it. So I think there's mental, there's cognitive benefits, there's emotional benefits, physical, obviously. And I'm just always scratching my head like, wow, why don't we make this more of a priority? Like, what would this world look like if we all just factor that into our normal routine? And I know a lot of people are just trying to survive, right? Like this, in a way, it feels like a luxury, which I don't know if that's actually true, but I think a lot of people feel like I don't have time for that, which is, again, what I love about a micro adventure. It's like, you can find it. I think you can find it. But the more that you can integrate play into your daily life, like your whole existence changes, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's reminding me that there's always this child in us. So this is a bit more spiritual take on it, right? That this spirit that we have came to the world whole, and little things sort of like took us away from that wholeness. But we still have this little kid in us that we can come back to, that's our whole self. And play might be the best way to come back to that place of wholeness. Certainly a sense of presence, like out of our head and more into our body, and just experiencing life and the pleasure of being alive, but also returning to our sense of wholeness that isn't like programmed or had various traumas or, you know, has been sort of picked away at over the years, but maybe just a brief way to get back there quickly and have that feeling and experience it.
In yes.
moments. And people can are attracted go ahead.
Can I add something? Because you both said something that is connecting a dot for me. And I totally agree with you, Deb. I think perhaps that could be the avenue or an avenue by which we reclaim that child. But also, Chris, you said something about like the ego tendencies that I think we compete with, that says, what, I don't know, you're not enough, or you need to do more, or here's your identity, you are this role. And so what I think happens for a lot of people, the ego, it disconnects us. It tells us that we're separate, that we're isolated, that we're kind of like on our own. And I think the more that we engage practices like adventure, play, bring in curiosity, the more it can, again, like take away that ego tendency and reconnect to that inner child or to that part of ourself, the innocence, you know, the true self that we may have lost. So It's so interesting to think about like these simple things as being a healing modality. But really, if you kind of break it down in the ways that we've been discussing, it makes a lot of sense to be able to, you know, reconnect on a very deep level to that part. So,
yeah,
I totally agree. And connection in and of itself is a healing modality, both with others, but it's impossible really to connect with others until you have the true connection with yourself, right? And so on both levels, it is a measurable way to heal physically, emotionally, all of those things.
So. And these things, you know, aren't brand new to humans. These things sound novel and different and new to Westerners living in a 21st century. But I mean, Native Americans, Easterners, like this was just part of their culture, their civilization, what they bestowed from one generation to the next, is they understood the power of alone time. They understood the power of connecting to yourself. They understood the power of connecting with nature or the great mystery or whatever, you know, God or name they put on this thing that's bigger than us, but that is all part of all of us, that connects all of us. And so it's like, yeah, we've lost that in this sense of hustle, 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 buy, 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 outcompete the next person next to you. And I've suffered from that, still suffer from that in many ways, but I've suffered from that from a lot of my life because like I feel like ego came along to help me deal with some of the experiences or hurts that I had. And it tried to say like, oh, well, you can be better than if you do this and this and this. And then I did those things and I was like, oh, I could in my mind rationalize I am better than those people. So now this must be good. Let me keep feeding that. Let me keep feeding that. And then next thing you know, you're feeding the ego and that's your other self and you're doing these things. And some people are probably even patting you on the back. Like, look how good you're doing. So it's hard to then separate and say like, oh shit, but I lost that 4-year-old Chris. Where's he at? Why do I feel this discomfort? And it's like, you have to be curious. You have to do these things that spark that awareness and, you know, play, curiosity, micro adventures. These are all just ways to understand yourself, understand your values, understand this great mystery of life. And I feel like that's really how I feel like in life right now. Like I will die someday. And my hope is I never fucking get the answer. Like there is not one answer. Like I just want to keep being a kid at play. That's like, oh, I wonder if we just keep falling. I wonder if we play, broom ball on the ice, what will happen next? I wonder if we do this, what will happen next? And those curiosities will keep, I think, leading me and leading us to, you know, just a beautiful place that we're excited to be around each other. We're excited to help each other, serve each other, use our gifts. Like, it just seems like a great place.
Yeah, I love how you just articulated that. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, well, the cool thing about this is that you're not attached to an outcome. When you're playing, you're doing it for its own sake. So go back to what you said about competition and this drive in capitalism to compete and to rise above and win. And there's an outcome there. You're going for this thing and you're maybe along the way missing the whole adventure. Yeah. Versus just like going to play, you're in it. You're in this process of becoming and learning and growing without necessarily, hopefully, feeling like, oh, I need to get to X. It's like, no, this is the whole point is to be in the dance of life and to just enjoy it. Right.
I love it that you said that. It's not like I'm going out for this goal in mind. I'm just going out to go out. That is it. Or I'm just experiencing this, whatever it is, meal or, you know, splattering paint on cardboard just for this experience. And whatever happens, happens from there. That's so good. I think we've hit all the high and the low notes pretty much, and then many tangents in between, but just to kind of bring it back before we wrap, if from a practical standpoint, someone that really is new to micro adventures or wanting to work this into their own life that they might feel is busy or hectic at this point, what are some just practical, simple ways someone might begin to work them into their life? I know you've touched on many of them, so you can just reiterate to wrap it up or add anything you haven't shared about a good way to just begin and see what comes of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I would say, obviously, openness, having some level of openness and curiosity to even conjure up, you know, what could that look like for me? And I, you know, you could always do these alone. I personally enjoy the experience shared with other people because, you know, it creates a certain bond and a memory and, you know, you can have that alone, of course, but so I would ask, you know, what's your preference? What do you need? Do you need more relational contact or do you need more alone time and kind of let that drive your decision? And one other thing that I encourage people to ask themselves before they consider something like this is, what is your risk tolerance? Like, what level of discomfort can you enter into without maybe becoming overwhelmed? Because I think everyone's on a spectrum. And some people, you know, the idea of floating down a river on a tube and slinging up a hammock, it's like, oh my God, no, I'm not, I don't have it in me. And so maybe it's just a day hike or a night hike, you know, so something that's just going to edge you out of your environment and out of your comfort zone just a little bit, because I, you know, we all need some level of stress, I think, to grow, but too much, I think, can be counterproductive. So thinking about your risk tolerance, and I would love to share if whenever you post this, I have a list of ideas that that people could use if they're stuck and like, I don't know even where to begin. But it could look like a food adventure. It could look like an art excursion. Another favorite of mine is to go to a local cemetery. Oh. And this is a really beautiful one. So there's like big oak trees and ponds and it's a gorgeous setting, but there's something about walking through a cemetery that shifts your perspective. You get in touch with your mortality a little bit, and that can open you to seeing yourself or your life a little differently. Right. So even something like that. And so, there's a million ways it could look like, but I just think asking yourself, you know, how can I edge out of the familiar a little bit, and having that open stance to say, wow, what do I want to learn? You know, what could be here? What do I want to discover? And I think if you just start with that, you're guaranteed some really cool outcome. And I can't say what that would be exactly, but,
So good, Carrie. Thank you.
Yeah, I think there's so many examples listening to this podcast of either specifics that we've shared already or just kind of playing lightly with the ideas and concepts. And there's a decent chance there's a whisper inside each of us that, like, when you drive by that thing, you know, you're like, oh, that would be fun if I listen to that, write that freaking down, put it on the calendar 3 Saturdays from now. That's what you're going to go do. Because that's what we get so caught up in, that like it has to be perfect or it has to be big or it has to be amazing. It's like, no, just find a place on your calendar. And if you're listening to this right now and you're like, I don't have time, go 4 weeks out and pick a Friday or a Sunday or a Tuesday in the evening, in the morning, and put it on your calendar. Other things will suss themselves out as you get there. Another thing, like besides your resource that you want to share, Carrie, which I think is helpful, is just to have a list of those kinds of things. But we were gifted this. I'll put the link in the show notes when we do it, because I can't remember the exact name. But we got this deck of cards, and instead of the cards, you know, being like an ace of clubs and all that, it's just this is a new adventure, you know. And some of them, like, there's 4 categories. Like, some are like overnight, some are just easy to do, like everybody that has a house could be able to do this kind of thing. And so just sometimes just like pulling a card out of the deck and says, well, we're going to go find, you know, I don't know, like I'm doing a poor job.
It's a date deck, I think. And
no,
some are free.
I'm talking about the one that, that Alex and I gave.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. Yeah. That's the idea. Some are free. Some are big. Some are
Outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good idea. Yeah. Well, that reminds me, a call to action, I guess, for us all as we wrap before, Carrie, you share how people can get your resource and get in contact with you, get to know you better, is this quote by J.K. Rowling from one of her Harry Potter books, I think. And she says, "Let us step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure." So challenge for us all, I think, as we move forward. Carrie, I'm sure people listening would love to know how they could get to know about what you have to offer more, get in touch with you, and get that great resource that you have that's a list to help people get started micro-adventuring on their own. How can they do that?
Yes, absolutely. A couple places. The best one is my website, which is simply carriedone.com. You can see all kinds of different offerings, resources, podcasting, which is another place that centers around my brand. It's called Clearly Connected, is the podcast that I run. I get to feature Chris here real soon.
And we're going to have more talk about adventure.
More connection. I know, all of it. And also Instagram. I spend a good bit of time there. It's at Carrie Doan Coaching. So any of those platforms, you can reach me, and I'm happy to connect you to more adventure and play.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. It was just as nice having you on the second time, and I'm already excited for time number three whenever that comes down the road. So yeah, thank you so much for being here and sharing with our audience. And yeah, I just want that call to action to be the last thing our listeners hear is do that, like take that micro adventure, do that next thing, explore that curiosity. I just know there's too many of us that are kind of caught up in our own worlds, in our own heads, in our own sense of accomplishment and success and all of that. And we lose that inner voice, that inner child. And so I wish you all the best of days, and I wish you all to go find your next adventure and go bucket yourself today.
What is adventure? One thing I know for sure, there's not one static definition. In this conversation alone, adventure was an interesting meal eaten with fingers in silence, sledding on a snowy mountainside, sleeping under the stars, making art out of trash, signing up for a hip-hop class, and taking a walk. Carrie helped us get to the heart of what true adventure is. It answers a question or curiosity. It takes us, however small, outside our comfort zone. It gets us out of our head and into the present moment. It puts us in touch with the truest, deepest part of ourselves, our wholeness. In doing all or some of the above, it may just help us calibrate or recalibrate our path in a way that puts us in greater alignment with our own authentic purpose here. Regardless, Carrie reminds us to simply try adventure purely for adventure's sake, with no end goal in mind. Expecting nothing. What a paradox then that may be how we receive the most. Of adventure, Terry Pratchett says, "Why do you go away? So that you can come back. So that you can see the place you come from with new eyes and extra colors. And the people there see you differently too. Coming back to where you started is not the same as never leaving." We go to adventure to get away from the selves we've created through conditioning, programming, responsibilities, internal and external expectations, roles, wounds, stories, and comfort zones. We go to adventure, in doing so, leaving the selves we've created and returning to ourselves all at once, even if just for a moment. May you find a way to adventure today, friends, to step outside a comfort zone, get present, get curious, and try something new or different. May you go to adventure expecting nothing, but perhaps finding that it brings you closer to yourself, the parts of you beyond expectations, pleasing, and prescribed paths. And may this small step of adventure empower you to continue on the path of questioning, curiosity, and playing with life, returning you to your own sense of wholeness that's been yours all along. Much love to you today and every day.